So welcome to the Sunday where we celebrate rocket ship Jesus. Well, at least that was when I was a kid, the way that I kind of pictured or imagined what was happening on this feast day. You know, so many of the images we have are of Jesus kind of doing the Toyota ad sort of thing, descending up. And, you know, I remember seeing this one particular image where all that you saw of Jesus were a pair of feet sticking out from the bottom of this cloud as he sended off up into the heavens. And, you know, just trying to make sense of all of that with probably a little bit too much science fiction in my childhood, but all of that trying to make sense of that. And seeing Jesus, you know, just ascending and just wondering, you know, has he got to heaven yet? You know, those questions. Are we there yet? Is Jesus in heaven just yet? Or has he still got a few more thousand years to go until he actually reaches heaven? But thankfully, hopefully, my childhood brain has developed a little since those days. And I've begun to realize that this feast isn't simply about these bizarre images of Jesus disappearing into the clouds, disappearing, in fact, from our possibility of relating to him, of connecting with him. In fact, what the ascension does, what the ascension is about, is a most wonderful thing. It is this sense of preparing us for the rest of our lives, preparing us for this true encounter. As has often been said, if Jesus remained, even in his risen body, as this physical presence, he could only be seen by, you know, a few hundred people, a few thousand people, perhaps at any one time. But because he has now ascended to be with the Father in heaven, and of course the imagery of him just rocketing up was an attempt by the church to describe this reality. The cloud, of course, is just the image of glory, the image of obscuring our minds and hearts to this present reality so that Jesus could then go to this other dimension. Because heaven isn't somewhere up there. You know, the Russian cosmonauts famously declared that they didn't see any sight of Jesus or heaven when they went exploring into the outer atmosphere, and so thereby declaring that, you know, God was dead and all of the stuff that the Russians were good at in those days. But this powerful sense that no, heaven is simply a different dimension entirely. That heaven is an experience of where God reigns on high, where all things happen according to the will, the purpose, the plan of God. We occasionally get these little glimpses of heaven. We occasionally get these glimpses of things working the way that they're meant to work, when justice actually is expressed in the world, when we see a kind act being performed, when a word is spoken into my life, or I get the chance to speak that word of encouragement, of fulfillment into someone else's life, when we see the great work that so many of the ministries in this parish community are being done and faithfully fulfilled, when people offer to pray for one another, when people offer in St. Vincent de Paul or the Catholic Women's League to visit those who are most desperately in the need of that, of just that friendship, of that companionship. The church is best expressed when we experience this personal encounter with God, when God begins to do his work in us, when God begins to open our hearts to realities beyond my little world, as we were looking at last Sunday in the Gospel then. This sense of Jesus inviting us into this bigger picture, this bigger reality, this sense of what are we about? What's the purpose and plan for all of this? The sense of being connected with one another, this sense of having a purpose and plan to be used by the Lord. The Lord, of course, will often have to, though, address the various kind of things in our own brains that can prevent us from doing those things. Those tapes that perhaps sometimes play over and over in our minds, telling us we're not good enough, we're not worthy, don't do that because everyone will find out that secret that you've been trying to hide from everybody all this time. All those things, those negative voices that continue, it seems, to run and to play within our hearts. And the ascension at one level is inviting us to move beyond all of those voices, to allow the very presence of Jesus to be at the center of it all. As Paul tells us in his letter to the Ephesians, to remember that vocation, to remember the purpose for which we have been united with the Lord in the first place. Not the vocation in the sense of priesthood or marriage, but a vocation of being baptized, of being united with the Lord. Something that every single one of us here is able to share in. The vocation, ultimately, as St. Therese of Lisieux described it, the vocation to love, the vocation to be used by the Lord. And so our way of experiencing that is so often just hearing the voice of the Lord calling us to truth, reminding us that all that we have received is this utter, utter gift, this grace that He has poured into our hearts. If we don't feel ourselves to be worthy, if we kind of hear these voices saying, you didn't deserve that, or if something good has happened, you know, the voice that says, well, okay, something good has happened, but get ready for something worse to happen later on. All of these voices that seem to speak into our lives. But the voice of grace, the voice that says, no, everything you have received is simply a gift. Allow yourself simply to delight in all that God has prepared for you for this day, for this moment, for this particular place where God has called us to be. Our call, our purpose, the way that we're invited to live out this vocational call is remembering fundamentally our connection first to the Lord. Our connection that Jesus has made Himself available to us through His church, through this community. That God is able to be experienced and worshipped and loved in this most intimate and beautiful way. And what does that do? It allows us, it frees us then, not out of a sense of guilt, not out of a sense of just fulfilling a duty, but joyfully to share the many gifts that God has given to every one of us through our baptism, through that call to be united with His saving work through His death and resurrection, that all of us, all of that allows us then to be used by the Lord, to step into those places where God has invited us to be His hands and feet in the world, to be the very presence of God here on earth. And often that takes very simple forms, as I said at the beginning. Those words of encouragement, the smile that we offer to the cashier or to someone that we're interacting with, that opportunity that we have to give some money joyfully in order to unite ourselves with the charitable works of the church. There's so many ways that we're able to share that. But remember, if we're doing it out of a sense of guilt or out of a sense of regret, that's always the wrong motivation. The only reason we should do anything is because God has acted first. God has called us. God has chosen us. God has invited us to experience the delight of being loved by Him. If there's any other voice, if there's any other tape that's playing in our heads, we need to erase those tapes. We need to get rid of all of those thoughts and allow ourselves simply to rest in the presence and the power of God's love, calling us into life, calling us into purpose, calling us to share those graces and those gifts that He so freely and abundantly pours upon His church, to share that with those around us as well.